Welcome to Directions on the News for Wednesday, January 2nd in 2008, and to the new year. This is Joe Francica of Directions Media, and I'm joined by my colleague, Adina Schitzberg, our executive editor. Today we'll look at the geotoys that were hot this holiday season and discuss what really might be the impact of all this location technology hype for 2008. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Online, you can combine ready-to-use maps, reference layers, and functional tasks with your local data to support your GIS work. Save time and benefit from on-demand GIS content. Learn more about ArcGIS Online at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
So, Dina, we learned this year the in-vehicle navigation systems were hot. This was seen way back in the early part of the season. Sales were indeed hot. We never thought that nav systems a couple years ago would be the thing most wanted by consumers. But indeed, this was the year. 2007 was the year that these things really took off. And maybe you want to go into some of the reasons why they might have taken off and what the potential impact we may see for LPS based on this phenomenon in 2008.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that one of the reasons they're so hot is that the prices have come down. So it's a very affordable gift for oneself or a friend or family member. I think that regular people are much more comfortable with the idea of how they work, how they don't work, what some of the limitations are. But when you get right down to it, the real selling point, I think, of any kind of nav system that works is that it falls or takes the place of a whole lot of processes and products that you had to have if you didn't have one. So you had to have the maps of all the different places you traveled. You had to spend some time unfolding them and tracing the route and maybe writing down which exit to get off at and so forth. And organizationally, managing maps is a challenge. You certainly had to leave some time before your trip to do that work of finding the route, whether it was the best route or not. Or you had to do something like call up AAA back in the old days and have them mail you out your triptych. So I think there's a sense of, wow, this really saves me time, money, energy, and I can measure that. There's value there. And ideally, these maps and routes are far better than I might put together by myself.
Yeah, I think the key point there, is the price. I think the price points came way down. And we know what goes into the nav systems. The maps themselves, certainly very valuable. GPS chip itself coming way down in price, somewhere from the $10 price point per chip down into the $5 range and probably down into the $1 range here in the future. That bill of materials that goes into the nav devices way down in price, and you're seeing them, $149, $150, whereas last year maybe the low price point was somewhere in the $350 to $400 range. So having it as a consumer product, easy kind of gift to buy, you certainly don't want to be without it. Most people don't look at the maps anyway, but now it's a real convenience device. Now, what might you think might be the impact for other LBS technology that we may see in 2008? Is the hype going to still be there, or will we be looking at different consumer items?
Well, and I think that's really the crux of the matter, is where do we go from here? We've got the market educated. We've got a price point that clearly is working. And what's next? So the first question I want to ask in response to that question was, were the folks who were offering navigation solutions on phones marketing those for the holidays? And my answer, just keeping an eye out on the industry, I didn't see it. I didn't see the Telenavs and other folks who offer, in a sense, the same kind of thing you can get in a handheld device on the phone, offering that as a holiday promotion. That's a little more complicated because it's a subscription and those kinds of things. But I don't think we've made the connection that those are sort of potentially can do the same kinds of things on a device that you've already got.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I didn't see the ads there. I did see some of the ads for phones as MP3 players, and that's probably an easier sell. There's more competition for the iPods in that type of a market.
One other point I want to make about the implications for the success of GPS, for the potential success of LBS, goes back to the comment I made at the outset that we can see that GPS saves time, saves organizational challenges, ideally gets us there faster, we can sort of see the return on investment right there. I think it's a much harder sell to see that for the common kinds of location-based services that we're seeing now, things like Find Me restaurants and movies and those kinds of things. How much return on investment is there?
It's a good question. You know what? It almost becomes entertainment value as opposed to
I think you really hit it because finding your route from here to there is sort of work. It's required work. You have to do it if you're going to be successful to get to that business meeting or to the big wedding. Finding a great restaurant versus an okay restaurant or finding the opening movie versus the one that's been out for a while, less important.
Yeah, less important to if you take it from the ROI standpoint. As important if there is entertainment value and if social networking takes off the way some are predicting. I want that restaurant. I also want to see where my friends are. Are they in close proximity to that restaurant? We don't really know what the impact of social networking is going to be. There's tons of hype about it, but it's not, at least in this country, it's not in vogue at this point. It's not used. There's not a real call for the services, but it certainly is a possibility that that may be realized in the near future.
And I think you're absolutely right that social networking, for the most part, is tied into entertainment. It's not tied into the what I must do today. It's more of the how am I going to recreate when I'm not working. And those are have very different kinds of selling points, different education opportunities too, to get people used to the idea that this is a tool for work. You know, a required thing I have to do in my life versus this is an optional entertainment. I can do it if I want to kind of thing.
One of the things I wanted to bring up was I saw something yesterday in the Wall Street Journal about the Consumer Electronics Show and how cars, how the car manufacturers are now taking this show as a key event for them to introduce a variety of technologies. Obviously, we're looking to some of the car makers to see, you know, what else are they going to put in the car? Navigation was one. I'm wondering if weather is going to be that next big real-time dynamic data flow that's going into vehicles. We have it on the web. We have it on TV. I'm just kind of curious as to whether we think that as a location technology, we're going to see that weather may be something that we not want to be without.
I think there's something fundamentally different between traffic and weather. And I think traffic certainly was the first thing we needed to have. And but let me state the obvious. If you're sitting in traffic on one road, you can't visually see what the traffic is on some other road. However, if you want to know what the weather is 3-4 miles away, if you look out the window, you got a pretty good guess of what it's going to look like up the road. So from that standpoint, it's not particularly valuable. Now, the real issue here is the predictive part, and it's true of traffic as well. What's going to happen down the road? How should I reschedule my commute based on the predicted weather? And certainly this winter is a perfect opportunity to discuss that here in Boston. We had a snowstorm, a big snowstorm, that started at noontime, and many cities did not cancel school. So here in Boston, the poor students in the public schools in Boston, the buses couldn't get through because the plowing hadn't happened, and the kids were at the school till 9, 10 o'clock at night without a way to get home. And that's one of those things where predictive weather could have been tracked back to figure out the best way to manage traffic, to manage the students, and so forth.
Well, so let's fly off the deep end here for a second and go. You just touched on a couple of key location technologies that if you think deep enough about them, you could really start to let your mind go wild. You got the traffic. You got the weather. You've got perhaps an idea that you may want to know the type of the amount of snowfall that's coming, which will impact the traffic, that will impact how the predictive model will work. The weather patterns that will either predict snow or rain or ice or whatever that's going to run into that and work into that may be where the snow plows will be heading next. So you've got all of these things that you want to know about to predict your route. Is this something we ought to be thinking about? Is this something that the car manufacturers are going to want to introduce or the telcos? I mean, that's a service that you really want to know about because it goes right to safety. It even goes to green if you want to think about it. In a lot of ways, with all of the hype around green technology, I want to minimize my travel. I want to save gas. What do you think?
I don't think they're thinking quite that far ahead yet. I mean, before we get to predicting where the snow plows are, how about we get the cities and towns to tell us where they are? Give us the now first before you start doing the predictive. That would be a valuable thing. So I think you're maybe one step ahead.
Yeah, and I, you know, I did that on purpose. I really wanted to really try to think about what we may want to use as a service. I think you're right. I think we want the here and now, which goes back to the original question we addressed, which is, what does this mean for LBS in 2008? And I think you're right. I think we want the now. We want the traffic. Weather certainly comes in. You may think that you can see the 2 or 3 miles out, and that's true. Here in the south, where we've got fairly severe weather happening all the time, 2-3 miles away is real impact if it's very severe weather. You don't want to get caught in the hailstorm. Tornadic activity is certainly a real possibility. You want to avoid that, and that's where pinpoint accuracy does really come in. In fact, the TV stations here are very good at predicting. Again, there's a company here in town, Barron Services, does a lot of that predictive modeling of a severe weather for people. And my conversation with Bob Barron, the president, is indicating that some of this is going to come down to the consumer level, where you might want to, you know, tune into the radio in your car and get that exact map of the location. So some of the things, you're right, I think we want this here and now technology. And we saw traffic come online in 2007, 2008, maybe better at predictive modeling for traffic, possibly weather as well. But that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the 2008 ESRI Developer Summit will be held in Palm Springs, California, March 17th to the 20th. Connect with software developers from around the world to learn and discuss trends, tips, and best practices for effective GIS development. Early bird registration ends February 15th, but for more information, please visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.